All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
We're rolling.
All right. All right. I got a little bit of a pre-show note. The note is from...
Is this only for Patreon subscribers?
Pre-show? Yeah, this is, yeah, that's right. That's right. This is a pre-show. Yeah, that's correct.
This is the foreplay.
All right, let me get to it before we start this goddamn thing, okay? Jesus Christ.
Isn't that what it's about? Yeah.
No, okay. Just hold what you got. So we got a couple messages in regards to the Red Circle ads are still a little bit too loud compared to the music to the point where people are blowing their earballs out. So I just, that was something I only brought it up in the pre-show because they say, I can't listen to this anymore. You know, so that's it. That's pre-show.
I mean... Yeah, it's out of my control, I'm afraid.
That's why I wanted to bring it up because, you know, I wanted to bring it up because so the listeners can know that we do talk about this stuff.
We do. We certainly do. Yeah, it's one of those things that are out of our control.
I see. Okay. So no matter what you do, Craig, they throw in the ads and they're at whatever fucking volume they are.
Exactly. Right. So there's this real technical thing. So whether you listen on Spotify or Apple, they have recommended, and they call them LUFS, which is the sound level that you're meant to upload your content to. Mm-hmm. So everything is like an even level across. So I make sure all mine are within specifications. So all the episodes go up within specifications. But once they're up, there's a third party that then add in the ads. And they all do it. All the ad providers do it because it's like back in the olden days when we had TV ads. It would always be that much louder to get people's attention. So they're breaking sort of guidelines, I suppose, of, you know, the sound level you're meant to upload to. They're purposely doing it more just because it's going to grab people's attention. It's advertising. They're all scumbags.
Dicks.
Okay. Well, that was a good pre-show meeting brought to you by... our Patreons. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have Patreons. All right, let's start this goddamn show.
What's next on the agenda for the meeting? Lunch?
That's it. That's it. I just wanted to get it out in the beginning and we can start the show.
There we go. Okay.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Oh, Jeff, did you take the meeting notes?
I'm writing it down now.
If I can have them on my desk first thing Monday morning, please. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to Knife Talk, everybody. The number one knife-related podcast. Which we bring you every Monday. Unfortunately, this Monday, we lost it a bit. It had come on the Tuesday. Bad weather, bad signals, all the rest of it. But we're here every week for you, answering your questions and just talking shit, basically. With myself, Craig Lockett of Chop Knives, Mareko Momasi of Momasi Fire Arts, and Jeff Fader of Fader Knives. Let's start with Jeff. How are you?
I'm tired, but I'm good. However, in regards to Monday, the move is with these shows is just don't say anything because it's like don't make a big production about it. I did get a few messages. People thought something was wrong. Oh. And like, is everything okay? Normally, and I'm like, everything's fine.
Something was wrong. Something was wrong. I spent most of the day freezing cold with the electricity going on and off, internet not working. It wasn't a good day, but... Storms. We're all good. Everybody's
I think
safe.
That there are people thought that there was going to be there. It was much more grave than that.
Really?
I got some messages that were just like, just want you to know, you have our support, and I don't know what's going on. I'm like, nothing's going on. Craig's in his fucking underwear in France. He doesn't know what to do, and you don't know power. Everybody's fine. we're going to pluck some pubes out and tell some dick jokes, and maybe talk about a plunge line or two.
Mad.
But yeah, it's been really busy. You know, this January fucking sucks in general for us. And, you know, I was looking at all of our data and trying to, we just hit our minimums for where I want to be per month. And it's fine. Compared, January is always just like, you know, nothing to write home about. But
you got that nut.
What is it, January 56th
what?
Now?
What did you say?
It's a long week.
Wait
long
a second.
Wait,
hold on one second. What did you say, Marek?
I said, did you get that nut?
Have mercy, dude. Why can't you? I mean,
you're talking about the monthly. You don't remember? We talked about the monthly nut.
What are you? What kind of show do you think this is? I mean, have you lost your mind?
Wait, this isn't the OnlyFans version?
Yeah. This is not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fine. No, it's fine.
Right,
yes, down. I met the monthly nut, but at the same time, that was one of those things that, you know, look, you got to look at what you do and you got to look what you get. So we're getting ready for Valentine's Day. We have some knives with a company that they're going to be launching soon. And then I'm working on some more collaborations. We're adding on some more of inventory of some collaboration we've been doing for Valentine's Day. And then,
I tell you what I've enjoyed seeing of yours.
Go ahead.
The fork that you put on recently. I mean, you've got your new logo on there.
Yeah.
Looks really good. Really good.
The new logo's slick.
You etching it or are you stamping or how are you doing that?
I'm etching it. The logo, when the idea for having a new website came up, we thought about rebranding in general. So we were working on logos and stuff like that. And actually, Allison, who works for us, who's just unbelievable. Allison is just the best. Her boyfriend is a really great tattooist. And he offered to just kind of help come up with a new logo. And we were just like, Tony was just like, we got to get, you know, a fader is German for feather. And we got to have feather involved and the sculpture and all this bullshit. Oh, so they came up with something. We came up with something together. And then it was really, you know, we like it.
It's a good time to fall back on your German history, I think.
Austrian.
Careful with how you're waving to people, by the way.
You two motherfuckers. Neither one of you. Jesus Christ. So getting back to it, trying to get back to it, it's good. We're happy with it, and it looks good. And, we're really happy with the way things are going. And every so often I get a message from Tony asking me how the website's working and how am I finding Shopify to be difficult to use. And we're just kind of like kicking the tires, and then the first newsletter is going to come out soon. So. Yeah, nice. We're just working hard, and I was under the weather over the weekend, so I'm just kind of like, you know, getting back to it.
But does your tattoo guy feel like you're cheating on him by changing the logo with another tattoo artist?
He's called the divorce attorneys. And
yeah, he's got the paperwork drawn up.
These motherfuckers people don't pay that much attention, so
you know, okay.
It's fine. I still have the original stuff we're using for the merch and all that stuff, and I'm not really, you know, I'm just not saying no too much.
What if you had different logos for different, like, genres of knives?
Yeah, so it just seems like, it seems like a lot of, like, extra work I'm not interested in.
Okay.
You know, I'm a broad strokes guy. Yeah, I don't really, these little minute details are really kind of don't interest me. So I don't really like, I mean, the thought of all this little thing, these little decisions and all, I can, you know, it's fine. I don't give a
Well, I enjoy your plumage.
Plumage.
Okay.
Plumage.
Thank you. Plumage. Appreciate it.
Marekko, what's been going on?
Oh, boy. Well, as this is coming out, I'm getting ready for a class down in New Orleans. It's not until...
Traveling again?
Yeah. It's not until Thursday, Friday. So if there's any last-second people near the Robert, Louisiana area who want to take the two-day Decoding Mosaic Damascus class, again, that's Friday and Saturday, February 7th and 8th, they can hit me up, send me an email, and we can get you dialed in. Otherwise, I'm getting prepped for the class. It's been cold as fuck here. So it's been about like in the mid-20s, low 20s, which is basically -4°C. Which I'd be curious how cold it is getting over there for you, Craig. But yeah,
it's around about that in the evenings. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it stays like that in my shop through most of the day, and it's terrible. So I've been doing forging. I've been trying to stay warm, keeping the body moving and the blood flowing, and working with the fire and grinding so that I can stay warm. I've also been trying to take a page out of Mr. Feather's book about...
I don't know who that is.
Fader, sorry. About, you know, just trying to be more thoughtful about, I guess, health, physical fitness. And I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm not jumping into the deep end because I've done that in the past after taking years off from exercising in general. Because I grew up very doing a lot of athletics and sports and weight training and stuff like that. And like after high school, it completely fell off. So I've tried jumping in and it is, I go too hard, too fast. And my body is really feels terrible. And it's hard to get the motivation up. So I'm just kind of like, I'm just dipping my toe into the baby side of the pool so that I can just kind of work my way up. And it's been good. Just doing some like body weight exercises, using resistance bands and stuff like that. And it's only a couple days a week. But yeah, it's been good. Like I said, it's been super cold. One inconvenient thing that happened the other day is apparently at some point I drove over a screw and the tire was completely flat. And so I had to change the tire on the side of the road in -4 temperatures. Ooh. Thankfully, it wasn't covered in snow, but it was fucking cold. But I'm pretty handy with the tire iron, and it only took about 6 or 7 minutes and back on the road. But then I'm dealing with all that. And that's it. That's basically what my week's been. It's been making steel and trying to stay warm and getting ready for this class down in Louisiana.
When do you leave for Louisiana?
I actually fly out on the evening, Wednesday evening. My sister lives down in Louisiana, actually. And so, or down in New Orleans. So I'm going to be flying into New Orleans Super Bowl weekend, which is probably going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not super psyched about that. So I'll be hanging out with her. I have an event outside of knife making, I guess vaguely related to knife making, but on Thursday and then Friday, Saturday, I got the class. Sunday, I'm in New Orleans at a local bar with my sister and her partner and some friends watching the game, and then Monday I fly out.
Nice. What's the vaguely related to knife making? Because that's what this is all about, this show.
Vaguely related to knife making. I think it's something I'm not in the position to talk about right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Secret sauce stuff. Nice.
I know what it is.
Oh.
He's doing something with Taylor Swift while she's down there. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Is she in the Super Bowl again, is she?
Well, yeah. Travis Kelce is, so she'll be down there. So
yeah, she gave me. She personally invited me to come hang out in the box.
Let's change the subject. Oh, here come the fucking lawyers. Oh, have mercy. Jesus Christ.
Just hanging out.
Nice.
Get some good music and some good food.
Very good. Very good.
How you doing, Craig?
Well, I mean, it feels as if it was like 2 days ago that we spoke. It's just been funny enough, my wife and I just super, super busy to the point we're not really seeing each other. So I'm coming back into the studio doing work each evening and generally till about midnight.
Oh, wow.
Then like getting to bed and then waking up at sort of 6:30 for the kids, getting them off to school, straight back into work. And we're ships in the night at the moment. But I fly to the UK on Saturday just for 2 days. Mm. There's just not enough hours in the day at the moment. But it's good. Everybody's healthy. So, hey. Okay.
What are you working on? Well, wait a second. What are you working on in the shop?
In the studio.
Oh,
in the studio, rather. Yes. Yeah. I've got this project thing. Nothing to do with my music, but other people's music, this project thing that I'm doing. And it's turning into a bit of a beast.
Oh, good. Is that a good thing?
All good. Okay. And pays well. And it's just a lot of work.
Gotcha.
All good. Should we get on with the show?
Absolutely.
Shall we do it? Okay. So this is the bit where we try to answer questions for you. We've been doing this for years now. So we used to call it, "Hey man, can I ask you a question?" So if you've got a question for us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. DM us your questions and we'll add them to the list. And Dom Rav Designs has done exactly that. Is it Dom Rav Designs?
I think so, yes.
Hey, cuties, I have a question. I'm a few episodes behind, so sorry if you've covered this recently, but I've I've just had a workshop mishap that's put me out of action for at least the next 2 weeks, and I've recently started getting bigger quantity orders for my products. My injury means that these orders will unfortunately be up to a week later than promised. My customers have, for the most part, been very understanding of the situation, but I hate feeling like I've let them down. I'm thinking about making a few extra units when I'm up and running and adding them to the orders, free of charge for the inconvenience. Have any of you been in a similar situation, and how did or would you handle the situation? Hmm. He says, love the show, by the way. Keeps me company on cold, lonely shop days. That's so, Dom.
Yeah. Sorry, Dom Rav Designs. Am I hearing or interpreting this as like a wholesale account?
No, is that let's how you just, guys let's just keep, I'm reading it as oh, that's a good question.
Because I don't think you'd be just like randomly sending an extra knife to a couple people.
Not sure. Don't know. But yeah, but basically he's injured. And it's going to take him at least another 2 weeks to get better. And his schedule is going to slip a bit. I think basically that's what he's talking about. I've certainly been in that situation. And I certainly haven't handled things the best way either. But yeah, it seems as if, I mean, if you've got stock there and you're talking about you're putting extra stuff in free of charge, maybe you're a retailer or a wholesaler possibly. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think he's a retailer. I think he's doing it in batches or he's doing pre... I would imagine, and I think for the most part, for most of our listeners, we could probably answer it as in he does a pre-sale and then this is what it's going to be. And then there's like... I would think that it would be closer to that. That he's just late.
Gotcha.
You know, he's just late. Something happened late.
I mean, my answer for either situation, whether it's individual sales or wholesales, is the same, and that is not unless it's like a couple stickers. But especially if it's a wholesale account, and say you're like selling a batch of 20 knives to a retailer, I feel like that starts to set a bad precedence, because the reality of the process of custom hand-making knives, we're not a production facility. We're like that on a very micro level. Usually one person shows. Shit happens and it gets behind. You do your best, get back up. But especially if it's a fucking accident like this, like what can you do? You have to take the bruises, and they're unfortunately going to have to carry those as well. But I think I feel like it sets a poor precedence. And if it's a one-off, then maybe you throw in like some stickers or a t-shirt or something, like if you feel really bad because it's severely delayed. But I don't know. Again, I wouldn't throw in a whole extra knife for somebody that just purchased one knife and be like, oh, here's a second whole knife for free because it's a week late or 2 weeks late or three, even if it's a fucking month late.
Why do you think it's a bad precedent though?
I don't think it's necessarily good business. It's not like you're adding to the marketing, but it's like, I mean, I guess you could throw it into the marketing budget, but I feel like you're giving away free product, and a lot of us are running on pretty narrow margins in the first place. And giving away free product is not, I feel like that's not a good practice unless you really are in the position to do that because you're not well known and so you don't sell a lot of your stuff. Or you have a massive production facility where you can afford to let go of a few extra pieces because you already do them hundreds by the skip or whatever. You know, you're doing big batches, but it does not sound like that's a situation. And I think it's just stuff happens, and so I feel like he feels bad and that he's taking it or putting too much pressure on himself. And I have that same situation. I do that to myself as well. But in the long scheme of things, that is just part of the reality of handmade things, and sometimes there's delays.
I think it can be easy to sort of feel the pressure and almost sort of bury your head a bit in the sand a bit and things like that, which is certainly what I've done in the past. Mm-hmm. But I think clear communication to your customers would probably be great at this point.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Before things get bad, I'm assuming they're ordering online or whatever. Obviously, you've got contact details for them. So yeah, I mean, in the situation you're in, where you know you're literally injured and you can't do anything, people can be more than understanding, I'm sure.
I tend to think that this falls under. I agree with you guys. However, I do also agree with the idea of good customer service. And part of that good customer service is not nickel and diming things all the time. And I recently did the same. I did the big batch of knives. I don't know if I talked about it here. And one knife got, you know, lost in the post office. A woman called up and she said, it says it's stuck in the post office. There was no way for me to get a hold of anybody in the post office. They don't do that anymore. And I said to the woman, here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you another one. I'm going to send it in time. And then if the original one comes, send it back. She has bought a pile of knives since then. And it was just like she was very happy with the customer service, very happy that I was diligent in terms of being good communication, but at the same time being, you know, generous in terms of like she knew it wasn't my fault. And I knew it wasn't my fault. But, I know that when I look at our numbers in general, I know that we do, you know, 90% return business. So in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know what? I'll get her again. I'll get her another time. I mean, I'm not selling $1,000 knives. You know, it's just like at the same time, it's like I know that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think for me, I think that being a little bit generous does go a long way. Obviously, if you can afford to do it, that's a different. If you can't afford to do it, that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this guy's obviously in a very different situation
because
not the mail that's let him down; it's the production.
No, and of course, but in that regards, it's like I think that whole feeling bad for the situation is, you know, sucks. That's the cost of doing business. Sometimes these things happen. I limit a lot of the things I do because I'm afraid if I'm out for the shop. It's a problem. That's why I haven't been on that goddamn one wheel in 2 years. And part of it's because if I fall and break my fucking arm, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I
don't. And because you're 62 years old, what are you doing on a one wheel?
Oh yeah, yeah. Make all the jokes you fucking want. But it's like you. There are people here that are depending on me being here. Yeah. So there are things that happen that I don't do for that reason. And you know, it happens. And you gotta, you know, obviously. The one thing I won't do is don't apologize so much. A lot of these guys, you see these guys, they'll go online, they'll put this camera in front of them and say, something happened and I got to let everybody know. Just send an email and just say it'll be done in a couple weeks. And don't turn it into, you know, your, you know, Oscar acceptance speech in regards to why something's not going your way. And I'm just saying the other thing is don't fucking guilt trip your customers. Guilt-tripping your customers by telling them your woes does not work the way you think it does. It makes them think like you're fucking coming up with a reason why you're not done. Nobody cares. Yeah. Just say something's running late. It'll be done, and that's the end of it. Don't give them the fucking, you know, sad sack story.
Sure, I just had that happen to me from a company. Yeah, well, and I think an alternative versus extra product is maybe slightly discount the product you already are selling to them for the delay. But at the same time, it's like six of one, half dozen the other. Giving free stuff or discounting the stuff you're already selling to them, it's basically the same thing. I think the clear communication is key, like Craig was saying and Jeff was saying. And I think, I don't know, just like try not to be too hard on yourself, honestly, because just like shit just happens. And and there's some things you just cannot work around.
Yeah. Stay off that one wheel, Dom. That's what you need to do. Who's taking the next one?
I'll get it. It's from, what is that? Michael Angiving?
I think it's Langiving.
Oh, there we go. Landgiven. Michael Landgiven. Just going to throw out a question of how you guys clean your knives before shipping them. I make all stainless knives and they always seem to have a white film residue that is difficult to remove. I see people using steel polish and lighter fluid and all kinds of things. I would love to avoid the buffer if possible because, frankly, I'm scared of it. So what do you guys do, especially you stainless boys? What do you do?
Yeah, white film. I'm not quite sure what he means with that.
I don't either.
No. generally, just whether it's a carbon steel knife or a stainless knife, I just put a really thin sheen of wax on them anyway, and let that harden slightly. I use a what I can't even think what the wax is called. It's a food safe wax. Begins with A. Can't think what it is.
It begins with an A. Don't worry about
it's
it.
It's an A.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it begins with A.
If it begins with an A, don't worry about it.
Yes, but I don't know what you mean by a white film, actually. I'm not quite sure. Any ideas, Jeff?
No, but I know that sometimes things get a little bit on the smeary side when you use acetone on stainless. So what I do is usually before I send anything, I'll hit it with some acetone, then I'll hit it with some Windex, and then I'll hit it with some soapy water because I don't want, I don't want the residue of whatever that, all those, who knows if they're going to wash it before they use it or whatever.
Sure.
And I wipe it down, make sure it's nice, and then I put it in the Kydex sheath and ship it. But I try to keep it as clean as possible beforehand. Now I do that thing that the little wax and then the heat gun and wipe it down if it's carbon steel or exotic stuff. But I don't really futz around too much. The white stuff, I don't know what you're talking. I don't know the white film. The white film, I don't know. I try to avoid the white film.
Yeah. I'm just trying to work out what the wax is called now. Sorry.
For myself, especially because I'm doing carbon, I will, after I etch the blade and get it kind of dried off and polished and everything's looking good, I'll hit it with a coat of wax. And then actually from that point on, I wear gloves to touch the hand. That way I'm not getting my hand oils or any kind of funkiness off my hands onto the blade. And at that point, after I've waxed it, that's when I do the final sharpening and photographs and stuff like that. But again, I'm always wearing gloves because your hand residues and hand oils and stuff, or your fucking meatball sub that you had for lunch is going to get on your hands, it's going to get on the knife. And so I just try to wear gloves from that point forward so I'm not touching it. And actually, I start wearing gloves before that. Once I finish the hand sanding is when I start wearing gloves, and I do not touch the blade at all with my bare hands, especially the carbon steel, just because especially the hand oils can potentially be a big problem in the etching of the steel. And so after I'm done the hand sanding, I don't touch it with my bare hands again.
There we go. Okay. Okay, where are we? Jeff, you want to take the next one?
Dustin Sheffield says, etching questions. I'm looking into sun cloth or polishing cloth as a finisher. Is that something you all use? Have you ever heard of baking carbides on? Thanks, your fan, Dick Belong. I don't know what a sun cloth is or a polishing.
No,
it's probably the sunshine cloth, those yellow... they're like a jewelry polishing cloth that you can get for a micro abrasive. I can't even remember though. I think they're around like 4,000 grit or 6,000 grit.
Oh, wow.
Super fine.
So you'd use to polish?
Yeah, I just did that stainless mosaic blade, and after I pulled it out of the Gator Etch, there was a little bit of cloudiness on the CPM 154, which is the silver part of the pattern. And with that sunshine cloth, I was able to get in there and scrub it and brighten that up without stripping out any of the black portion of the pattern. And so they're abrasive enough to brighten things up without necessarily stripping out the dark portions of Damascus patterns. That is not a hard and fast rule. I have had, depending on the kind of etch, the acid used and stuff like that, and temperatures... of the etch, those all will play a role, and I have accidentally scrubbed out the black portion of the Damascus pattern with the sunshine cloth. So they can be accidentally overly abrasive, but yeah, I just try to use light finger pressure and only do what needs to be done. But yeah, those things are great. And what was the question again?
Have you heard of baking carbides on?
Baking carbides. I'm going to guess he meant oxides.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds kind of closer to probably what it is.
I have not heard of baking oxides on. I've heard of people boiling blades in baking soda water. And that will, or soaking blades in baking soda water, that will darken the whole blade though. whether it's mono steel or Damascus. So then you have to go back and try to selectively brighten up the high points. So you basically etch deep enough so there's a topographical difference between the highs, which are going to be the bright portions of this pattern, and the lows, which are the dark portions. And you have to be careful, and your pattern should probably be a certain density so that whatever you're using to pull strokes or to brighten up the pattern, those high spots, doesn't accidentally dip down into those dark areas and accidentally strip out the pattern. But that's the closest thing I can think of to baking on the oxides of any kind of patina or Damascus finish.
I've heard of soaking something in WD-40 and then letting it rest out, you know, pulling it out of the WD-40 and then letting the WD-40 just kind of dry, I guess, on or something like that. Just sure. Kind of like lock the oxides in, but that's the only thing I've ever heard of something like that. But yeah. At the same time, in my mind, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want all that.
You don't
oxides.
Want that on?
I want the. I don't want the either one of them. I would rather have the do. You know, I have it down and then do the coffee etch, because generally the stuff I do is, you know, food safe. So right. my opinion on the oxides is I don't want them.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you want
quickly
the fucking...
going back to the last question about coverings before shipping out. Mm. So it's a wax that I use that is made of camellia oil or tsubaki oil. It's like a wax product that basically uses them, which is a food safe oil, which they can turn into wax, waxy stuff. Anyway, back to where we were.
Tsubaki.
There we go.
We also have listener feedback and whatever you want, plus a audio listener feedback. Just to let
an
you know.
Audio. Oh, listen yeah. to us getting fancy.
Actually, and I have. Can we go back to the very first one? I had another thought that I forgot.
In regards to bring everybody back to where we are.
Yeah, in regards to the whole either making extra knives or trying to fail, like do something to for the customer to compensate for the delay of. The delivery of their product or the thing that they ordered. Even though I'm saying I wouldn't do that, you ultimately have to make the choice. You have to live with yourself. You have to have you have to have the clear conscience. So if that makes sense for you to make something and send it to somebody, great. If it makes sense to give them a discount, great. You got to ultimately do what feels right to you, because you don't want that hanging on you as you go forward, because it's already weighing on you, right? It's already weighing on you right now. Don't want that to keep lingering.
Nothing wrong with kindness.
Figure out what's best for you.
And then if you on top of that, they you know, you do something good for someone, you take care of them, even though maybe a break even or whatever.
Yeah,
you're on the top of their list of being treated well. I've said this a fucking million times. I know a knife maker, a great knife maker. He sent a knife to a friend of mine. My friend said that it showed up. It was rusty. It had not only, it wasn't like, you know, totally rusty, but it was like flash rust was on it. Obviously, there was some sort of, you know, moisture or something like that. He sends this guy a message, really great knife maker. And then the knife maker's response was, "Why? It wasn't like that when I put it in the box. You're on your own." Basically. Mm. And my buddy was just like, fuck this guy. I want to tell you guys another story. He was like, fuck this guy. But also he was just like, I'll never put him in this position again. I just had Chris Zeppieri on Full Blast, and he had this amazing story. He had to, last year, you know, Chris Zeppieri, Make Everything Shop. He had to buy like a land mover from, you know, for his tax purposes. Lawyer says, or his accountant says, you got to buy something. You got to spend some money. So he bought a fucking, like a land mover, like a Bobcat or whatever, the skid steer, whatever skid they call these goddamn things. Guy found this guy, legit guy, blah, 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 blah. Needless to say, he spent a lot of money, you know, $11,000 or something like that. He gets it, or he has a guy pick it up. Fucking thing won't start. And he goes back and forth with the guy. And then it turns out that there was no oil in the machine. And and then the guy stopped returning his calls. The guy stopped returning Chris's calls. The guy wouldn't return his emails. He blocked him on all social media accounts. Oof. And it turned into a huge production, to the point where, you know, the guy ended up closing his shop and starting a new one. And there was so much that went wrong. And when we were talking about it, I said, you know, the crazy part is, and obviously, I mean, and, you know, Chris was pissed and he was telling it on using his content. And people probably, you know, sent him this dude messages or whatever.
Sure.
And, you know, Chris and I were talking. I said, you know what the funny thing is if the guy just took care of the machine, he probably could have gotten so much more business. And he's like, yeah, totally. Instead, it was like a giant nightmare and he's got a terrible reputation. As opposed to he could have just been like, okay, listen, I don't know why this happened. I'm going to send a guy out there. Or here, let me give you some money back. Or it's business. You're not entitled to business. You're not entitled for things to go right. And sometimes you just have to understand that sometimes things don't go your way. How you handle it is the way to handle it. But at the same time, you don't have to tell everybody everything. You don't have to say, oh, I put my shoe on and then the shoe didn't fit. And you don't give them the Magna Carta. Just say it'll be ready next. Something happened. It'll be ready next week. Thank you very much. You want to send a little something, send a little something. But don't beat yourself over the head about it. Yeah. However, customer service is underused these days. I won't say anymore. I've said enough.
Yeah.
Said enough. Okay. Okay. Well, if we're talking customer service, if you need to buy anything knife-related, you know where you need to go? MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, because Lawrence will sort you right out. Belts are 10% off. You get a 10-pack. No codes needed or anything like that at all. It's just all set up on their web store there. It's the one-stop shop for knife makers, steel belts, hand materials, tools, forges, kilns, and more. Head on over to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, and they're also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram. Go check them out.
We have some listener feedback. We got questions, whatever you want.
Should we do some audio listener feedback?
Yes. Okay. This one is from our friend Kyle Daly, KH Daly.
Oh boy.
Now this isn't really he didn't send it, but I understand where it's coming from. So, you know, we've had for years I've been saying expressions like knife making, it's not all lightning bolts and high fives. Which is like, you know, it's not easy. And then Craig somehow turned it into it's not all hand jobs and high fives, you know.
High fives and hand jobs.
So apparently, I don't know if, I know you two nerds don't know anything about football, American football at least.
I know a lot about football. Yeah, okay, about American football.
So there's the head of, hold on one second. There's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, his name is Jerry Jones. And he accidentally said something. He was referring to how bad the season was going, and he made his own version of high fives and hand jobs. And everyone's breaking his balls because it is pretty ridiculous. So here is Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
A very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
That's a great one.
Smiles and glory holes. Let's do it one more time. One more time if you hadn't listened.
A very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
There you go.
It's the voice. It's everything. That's perfect.
Smiles and glory holes.
And speaking
of glory. Is that a title of the show?
I mean, you know, it depends on how our sponsors are doing, frankly. I mean,
they're dropping like flies, but hey, we ain't changing content for them.
You're the kamikaze of fucking dive up of our – you really just fly right into the ocean. All right, so speaking of glory holes, we got a message from our friend J-Mod Knives. J-Mod Knives, basically, last week he was asking us – we said smart or dumb. He said smart or dumb. He built his forge outside the house of his shop and then made it like a tunnel. And then so it was you'd open a door inside and then reach through to the forge. Right? That's what he said, right?
Yeah. That's what he had,
Then he's got the forge outside. He's got the tank outside. He gave an audio of a tour that I was hoping to play. I can kind of play it, I guess. It's going to be tough to hear, but I'll play a little bit of it. This is our man, J-Mod Knives, Justin Modica.
Man, y'all had me cracking up. So I figured I'd show y'all the official setup. The dumb fucking setup, dude. All right, so here's the door. Propane tanks right by the door, just in case something gets weird. There's the forge, brick wall. I'm mainly wanting to like crack this open and like have the exhaust heat out the back. But Yeah, this is right outside the door. Forge, door. Won't be able to see what's happening over here. That's probably where I'm dumb. That's probably where I'm a dumb, dumb boy.
Dumb, dumb boy.
All right,
dumb,
so, dumb boy. So J-Mod, so the only thing that he, you know, we said that my personal opinion is I want to be able to see everything to make sure that there's no heat, you know, or fire or potentially like something catch on fire, something weird. I want to be able to see what's going on. And basically he said the reason behind putting the forge outside was they have 4 to 5 months. He's in Arizona. It's 4 to 5 months where it's 100 degrees and it's hot as shit. And, you know, them Apollo forges are. They're hot, guys. So that was the reasoning. But and he does a video. Go follow J-Mod Knives. He did a video showing how he has this, you know, reach into the wall, and there's hell. You know, that's really what it is. He's got a doorway to hell through a little crack in the side of his house.
Yeah. Okay. So are we revising our smart or dumb? Is that smart now, do we think?
Oh, I don't think I said to J-Mod, he's not dumb. I mean, the reason, you know, the funny thing is about all these things is there's only one way to find out. And sometimes you do these things. I know that I've built things and I don't want to say contraptions, but I mean, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And then I outgrow it fast. Mm. Like things, you know, ideas are great and they're exciting and the voyage is fun and you think yourself, this is terrific. And then you may decide, you know what? I overthought this, and all of a sudden now this isn't right for me. So it's experience, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay. Do you know one thing you'll never have to experiment with?
Talk
it's always
me.
A good choice. Even heat kilns. I mean, if you're looking for a kiln, there's only one place to go.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
All right. We also have feedback from Anonymous from last week. Anonymous was this guy who has a shop in Colorado, and he shares it with someone, with his roommate. And his roommate's getting married, and then he thinks that the writing's on the wall, and he wanted to know what to do. And he said, smart or dumb? Or no, did he say smart? No, that was J-Mod is smart or dumb.
Yeah.
But Anonymous says, feedback, thanks for the input, guys. The ultimate goal is to get my own spot for sure. I have a full-time job up here in Colorado, so I'll probably stick around for a bit. Also, thanks for keeping it anonymous, even though there's zero beef between or bad blood between us yet. Let's see what happens. And then he goes, let's see what happens when she finds a G-string I left in the back of the seat of his car. Thanks for the tip, Craig. And then he goes, planting a G-string, smart or dumb?
Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
I feel like I saw a post recently where a guy at a construction site plays tricks or pranks on his coworkers by dropping, like, hair ties or scrunchies and shit like that into their trucks.
You know, internet pranks, I hate them. I fucking hate them. They're just so you know what the worst ones are? Or when the guy's in Home Depot and then somebody goes and like whistles in his ear or something like that, or says some noise and stuff like that. All that shit for content, go fuck yourself. I have no response for that.
Pranks on friends, I'm all right with. Pranks on strangers is kind of fucking weird.
What's the best prank? What's the best prank you've either had done to you or been a part of? I'll tell you a shop one. I was in a shop with some naughty, naughty guys, and they sprayed. I was in the bathroom, and they sprayed. What is that spray for starting fires? You know, like charcoal fluid, lighter fluid.
Mm. Yeah,
they lighter fluid under the door, and then lit it.
Oh,
and I'm fucking having a shit. And next thing you know, there's the trail of tears. There's like a fucking just like. A napalm has erupted right by my feet.
Right.
That was bad.
Yeah. Oh.
And then I had another shop where we had, I don't know why, we had a blowgun in the shop. Somebody had a blowgun, you know, those little.
The blow dart gun.
Yeah, blow dart gun. And one of the guys thought it'd be fun to try it with the air compressor.
And then they started to shoot it and like wanting to do more like William Tell, put an apple on your head kind of shit. Oh. And I was just like, I want nothing to do with this. Stay the fuck away from me. And he's getting, he's like, oh, don't worry, I won't get you, I won't get you. And I was just like, I cannot be hit by a fucking blowgun dart. I'm too old for this shit. It's not for me. But that was were there other press?
That's the email to send. I'm sorry, your knife may be 2 weeks late.
I get hit with a blowgun dart.
Blow dart hit me right between the eyes.
Yeah, I mean they're thin too. It wasn't like a blow. I mean it was like a surgical needle, and it would have gone right. Ooh. It wouldn't have gone right through me. It would have stopped. But I mean, Jesus Christ, I was. You don't have any. Yeah. No, you guys never had any pranks done to you or anything like that.
I can't think of any right now.
I just couldn't remember. I remember when I first learned to drive. I used to have a Mini. You know, the really old Minis, the very, very small cars. And multiple times I would have come out of my house and the Mini wasn't there. It'd be like parked across the other side of the road or facing the other way, where my friends would just like literally just bounce the car down the street and move it to other places. So, yeah, there's little things like that. But I can never remember stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, you're old.
Well, the best pranks are normally when you're drunk. So
my wife played two pranks on me that were like, I mean, she doesn't have to do another prank for the rest of her life. The first one was when we lived together before we got married, I would park the car on the street and then I'd have to run down before the street sweepers came. And then I would wrap my lunch in a paper bag and she'd bring it down with me. We also had a cat. So she scooped out the cat shit. Put it in the brown paper bag, and then I put my hand out for the sandwich, and she put the bag of cat shit in my hand. That was really funny, but even...
Is there anything worse than cat shit?
It was. I laughed. I thought it was very funny, but the real funniest thing she's ever done, the worst prank ever, is when I was running this this bakery, it was a long time ago, and she knew how much I hated the health inspectors. Did I tell you this story yet?
No.
Oh, God, I hate it. I got involved when I was working for Charlie Palmer. I was had to be there when the health inspectors would show up. And a lot of these health inspectors are corrupt. And they make you jump through hoops, and they're trying to intimidate you. And then, you know, because there's the threat of the guy they're closing the shop down or fining you or whatever. And I used to hate it. My dad used to hate it, too, because he would get his winery. Yeah, you'd get BTA. He'd get the ATF would come. And he and I would commiserate about how much we hated these health inspectors because a lot of times it was like, you know, some ticky-tack bullshit. So for my birthday one year, Hillary hired someone to come down to the bakery to pretend to be a health inspector. Did I not tell you this?
No.
This guy comes in, and then I had gone to these health inspector meetings at the health department in New York City, and they said, just be careful. Make sure you see these badges because there are people come down to pretend to be, you know, they're trying to shake you down for money. This guy walks in with a trench coat, and he says, and he flashes this totally weird badge. He's like, I'm with the health department. I'm here to do a health inspection. And my guys are just like, they grab me. I come up to the front. I'm just like, I'm not really figuring it out. And he goes over to the napkin dispenser and he pulls out a napkin and he crumples on the ground. He crumples it in his hand and throws it in the ground. He goes, that's a health violation right there. And then he's looking around. He does something else like that. And I feel like I'm waking up to this. Like, this is complete bullshit. And I said, I need to see your badge. And he goes, happy birthday from your wife. I swear to God, the people who work at the bakery says, your wife is the fucking baddest motherfucker of all time. And I said to the guy, I said, I was so close to throwing you out the window. I couldn't even believe it. He got afraid because my wife was sitting at her office just like thinking I was going to kill her. It was the best goddamn prank ever. It was like perfect. Fake health inspector.
Have you heard the story of the Mirage back in the 70s, back in Chicago? The fake bar?
No.
No.
Oh, I've got it. It's an episode, Criminal, which is this podcast I listen to. It's like criminal stories. But they're always true stories. And back in the 70s, the Chicago Sun-Times was the big publication then. And they were hearing about all these like these fake officials and city inspectors like bribing all the local businesses. And they were like, but they can't prove it. They've got no story here. So they literally bought a bar and they ran a bar for months and months. Secret cameras everywhere. They had people hiding in the ceilings to take pictures. Like, they ran it as a real bar with locals and everything. And this was all just to get the scoop on who was corrupt of all the city inspectors and the officials.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, they run like 15 weeks of stories then in the Chicago Sun-Times. I think they won a Pulitzer for it as well. But yeah, it's an amazing story. And they called the bar the Mirage because it was all fake.
Yeah, oh, that's clever. It's a little too clever, actually.
Yeah, mad. So that's back in like at 77, I think it was. God. Yeah, mad.
All right, so neither one of you have any prank stories, so I'll keep going.
Yeah, not off the top of my head.
All right. Well, think about a prank. You have an.
Okay, listeners, remember to tune in next week with your best pranks. Please send them in to us.
And send in your birthday wishes. We haven't had a birthday wish in a while.
Birthday wishes too. Yeah, we're getting more local radio every week.
I love it. I'm ready for weather and traffic. The next one comes from Ronald Handmade in Australia, our friend from Australia. Helpful advice time. He's got helpful advice time. You hear a lot of people recommend using steel pipe for heat treatment in a forge to equalize the temperature. We mentioned that last week, Marek, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It can help, but it's important to remember that if the end of the pipe is outside of the forge or the last, at least in the opening, the pipe will be filled with oxygen-rich air from outside of the forge, which cancels out the effect of running the forge with a reduced flame and can cause serious decarb.
I mean, it's very similar to running it in a heat treating kiln. You're in an ambient air environment. So if that's what you got, then that's what you got, I would
say. I think what he's saying is you want to keep it inside the forge as opposed to it's sticking out of the
having
forge.
Having the pipe sticking out.
Oh, I see.
Because that last section might be like sucking in too much oxygen. You know
I feel I mean? Like the whole, but the, no fuel is getting into the tube. That's the purpose of the tube.
If it's sticking out of the forge, it might. What he's saying is sticking the part of it sticking out of the forge, like if it's not the same size as the inside of the forge.
Right. I'm just confused, I guess. Okay. Then, because if it's a tube and the flame is in its part of it is inside the forge and the flame is going around the forge, around the outside of the tube, but still no fuel is getting in, it's always going to be oxygen. It's always going to be ambient air. There's nothing else in there. Even if you get it hot, that doesn't mean that there's no oxygen. It's just hot air. It's always going to be exposed to air.
Ronald Handmade, the glove has been drawn. Okay, listen to me, Ronald Handmade. You send a lot of messages, and you're very helpful and stuff like that. But if I got to pick a side between you and Marekko, go with Marekko. Sorry,
maybe
my guy.
I'm missing something. I don't know.
No, you're not missing shit. This guy, he's got lots to say. I know all about it. I'm just kidding, Ronald. But the fact remains is I'm. If I got to pick between you, this is like, you know, this is not Sophie's choice right here. This is easy. I'm cutting you loose, my man. I'm going with our guy. There you go. I'm just joking around, obviously. I don't know that I think what he, I gotta fucking don't even know, frankly. Don't know.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, like I said.
Let's go back to a few questions. Whilst I looked on the list, Jeff, you tell everybody all about Dharmasteel and how great it is.
Listen to me. Guys, we've talked about it all the time. Pattern welded stainless steel is the future of knife making, and Dharmasteel makes the best. So go to Dharmasteel.se, and if you put in the promo, if you fill out the paperwork and all that stuff, you put in the promo code Knife Talk, Knife Talk 10, you're going to get 10% off everything, including all their great stuff. And we're going to be doing the Dharmasteel Invitational. Guys, you can start applying for the Dharmasteel Invitational. Don't wait for somebody to say, we want you to be in it. You go ahead, send a message to Dharmasteel. Say, I want to be in the Dharmasteel Invitational for next year. And they got something. They're cooking up something. Carly's cooking something up for the next project. We're going to have pieces of steel for Dharmasteel. Go to Dharmasteel.se, or you can follow them on Dharmasteel, DharmasteelAB on Instagram. Don't play.
There we go. Good question here from Peter Sankel. And he says, what's up, guys? I have a question. I should preface this by saying I'm in high school, so making money isn't a huge deal for me. But at the same time, if I do want to continue this in the future, why not start now? Exactly. He says, anyway, what I really enjoy making are the traditional ABS-style bowies and hunters. But they take way longer. Oh, fuck. Somebody just moved the page.
Oh, that was me. Sorry.
Okay, but he said they take way longer to make and don't really sell very well, as he hasn't really established himself as a maker yet. He's also made a few chef knives, which are more approachable to family, friends, and people who are more likely to be my customers. So do you have any advice for me on which type of knife I should focus on? I can't really do both as my time in the shop is pretty limited with school. But so it's really a question of, should I be spending a ton of time making these art knives, which won't really sell, but I enjoy them more, or chef knives, which would get me work, get my work out to a lot more people. Although I'm not sure if that's the direction I want to take my businesses in the future. But although money isn't a huge deal, I would like to make some income to pay for materials and tool upgrades.
What a hardworking young man.
And what a great question, actually. Yeah, I like that question. Can I go first? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd say, whilst you don't have the pressure of having to make money, I'd say continue to do what you enjoy doing. Because as what you've described as art knives, there's a lot of attention to detail there. And you're just honing those skills. So if it does come to a point where you need to make a more accessible knife, you'd have all these skills behind you. Whilst you're in that luxurious position of not desperate to make money, I think, if you enjoy doing these more intricate knives, I think, you're learning a hell of a lot. So continue doing that. Marekka, what do you think?
I think that it is maybe not the most clearest train of thought to think that you can just make chef's knives and sell them if you think you want to make money. And honestly, if you're going to be in the ABS style, why not make hunting knives? Why wouldn't you make hunting knives? So you're still working in that style and doing grinds and things that you would incorporate into these hunters, these art knives, these buoys, but they're just simpler. So I would try to do hunters and stuff like that, especially if that's a tool that you know more and that you want to be more involved with, because it sounds like chef's knives or cooking knives are not necessarily going to be your jam. Why waste any time there? There's plenty of people who want to buy handmade hunting knives. And so I would say if you want to play with that, do hunting knives. Otherwise, I completely agree with Craig that since you have the time and you don't have the monetary pressure, focus on the things on the Bowie knife stuff, because they're super nuanced. They're tricky and there's a lot to learn there. And if you start by trying to make it a business, you're constantly trying to keep that business going, and it makes it difficult to find that time, the side work time, to do some of your own personal exploration, experimentation, your own personal learning around different aspects of knife making and techniques and stuff like that. So since you have the time now, I would focus more on those for sure.
I don't have much more to say. I mean, kid doesn't have to, I make knives. I think I should start making chef knives. Don't do that. Don't be one of these guys. We got a million of them out there. Oh, I can make a knife. I'll make a chef knife. Marekka's right. Do what you like. Don't play with what you think other people want. And you're young and it's going to be repetition and get good at what you're doing and figure out different ways in which to kind of achieve your goals. Don't make what other people think they think you want them to make. Don't do that. It's wasteful of your time and energy.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. You do say you'd like to make some income to pay for materials and tool upgrades. We can't give you income, but we can give you discounts, which are just as good. It's free money. Head on over to TexasFarrowSupply.com. They also sell Indasa Rhinoweth there. So, everybody needs to do hand sanding, unfortunately. But if you are, make sure you're using Indasa Rhinoweth. It's just going to save you time and money. Texas Farrow Supply, they've got everything you possibly need. And if you put Knife Talk 10 in the promo box, you'll get 10% off your entire order, which includes your Indasa Rhinoweth. So go ahead, TexasFarrowSupply.com.
Don't get that fakakta bullshit Rhinoweth that's going to
yeah.
somebody.
Get the legit stuff from Texas Farrow
Supply.
There's some
quack down in Australia who's selling some bogus Indasa USA, which is madness. Don't fall for the banana tailpipe, ladies and germs.
Yeah. Question from Manny Fernandez 858. I mean, that just rolls off the tongue, that username, doesn't it? I bet he's got a Hotmail account as well. Oh, Manny Fernandez 858. Whatever happened to the psychopath test a few weeks ago? I don't think the results have been revealed yet. The results were revealed back in episode 5 when Jeff joined. Matt's a psychopath. Maybe the whole thing is a bit. Is a bit to keep us wondering.
I was not gonna laugh at that just because I was just like, you don't deserve that laugh. But it was pretty good. So, thank you.
It slowly revealed itself over the last 6 years.
You know what the funny part is? So before this was so funny. We were doing the podcast, and then somebody said something about the psychopath test, and then at the last minute, we told Craig, give me the psychopath test. And I took it, and then I said, God damn it, don't give. I got so much messages. How could you guys cut it off, and what was the results, and how do you do that? Ben Camone was, like, furious. All these guys were pissed that we didn't reveal the fact that I am a psychopath, or I know how to take a psychopath test. So you can
a good psychopath knows how to take the psychopath test.
I mean, you can't. And just to let you know, 20 questions from a bullshit like Vogue Junior magazine cannot be what a psychopath can't completely diagnose as a psychopathy. You know what I mean? It's bullshit. So.
Question one, do you have any bodies under the patio?
Yeah.
You failed the test.
I hate humans. I hate people. You know, it's like, what do you do? So what were the results? I think
you come up as quite well-balanced human, I think.
You know what the funny thing is? I bet I beat the brakes off of both of you. I think that I'm the least psychopathic of all you motherfuckers.
A psychopath would think it's a competition. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
exactly
dude, don't fucking try to pretend. Don't try to pretend. I believe that you both are probably I'm gonna beat the both of you. I'm far more normal than either one of you two. But that's the answer. That was my favorite thing to do, which was to take it and then say, turn the fucking show off. That was legitimately like Radio 101. I'm fucking so happy.
Mareko, do you want to take the next question?
Yeah, the next one is from Vallejo Knives. He says, hey guys, I do stock removal knives and usually start from around 3mm stock, which is about 1/8 inch. During grinding, I sometimes accidentally touch the front of the hidden tang, making it just a bit narrower. When I file the tang slot in the front of the handle, I often end up with a gap on the very front. How could I taper such a thin tang or otherwise make sure that the front is the thickest part? Thanks for your help. Valentine.
So he's taken his grind too far down and into the tang, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I imagine it's the same whether you're doing a full tang as well. It's going to be exactly the same, isn't it? Once you go past that line of where your handle material is, it needs to be completely flat. So there's a couple of things you could use, like a file guide to give yourself a hard sort of plunge line there, so you're never going to go that far. You could always use a file guide actually just on the bit where you know the handle is going to be, so you don't have to have that hard line, but you've got you can't go further than that, so you can still have a nice sort of bevel in there as opposed to a hard line. And I suppose it's just taking your time then. At the very minimum, I think you need to be marking where your handle's going to be and where your tang needs to be flat, whether that's even just with a marker, you know, at the very, very least. But I'd imagine it's just taking your time, I would have thought.
I'm trying to figure out why it was an issue, but it looks like what would be kind of considered the Ricasso area is very short on his knives. And if he's grinding using like a tool rest or something like that, the belt's basically perfectly perpendicular. So you have a very narrow room for margin or margin for error in accidentally getting up in there. But yeah, I think clamping on a file guide would really help to avoid that. The issue is if you're working with a file guide, how to do that with a tool rest. I think if you used a 1-2-3 block clamped to the tool rest, that will help lift the blade up off of the tool rest, but you still have that flat surface to work with, but it also creates a gap to accommodate the file guide, and that way you can get in there with the file guide to help protect you from overgrinding. And getting
or even use tape where it's going to be, so you've got a visual reference at least. So you're not you're just guessing each time.
Yeah, and that, I think that's part of the problem. Any grinding is that you're kind of it's kind of blind to what's where the belt is exactly. Yeah, across the face. But yeah, I think a file guide really would help to help kind of block out that area. Tape would definitely do it. Sometimes I mark with a pen, but I accidentally sweep back too far as well. Although because I'm doing it freehand, I can work at a little bit of an angle, which creates more margin for error for me in when it comes to like sweeping that plunge or the plunge grind of the chef's knife back towards that ricasso area. But if anything, you could build in a little bit more buffer. I think you could afford to build in a little bit more buffer room on your knives. And that would help also to help prevent you from accidentally grinding into the hidden tang area. But yeah, just take your time.
File guides are clutch.
Yeah.
And I have the Nordic Edge file guide, which I love from Maritime Knife Supply. Maritime Knife Supply has the Nordic Edge file guides that they're with the bolt-on carbide plates. They're great. And then what I do is for the hidden tang stuff, I made a special I made a holder so I can basically like a fake handle. So when I'm free hand grinding, I'm holding it comfortably. That's the most important thing, holding comfortably. But I'm very cautious when I'm doing any hidden tang stuff. Is I stay the fuck away from that from the ricasso and we're from the plunge line to where it's gonna recess into the bolster of the handle. That's really And then let's face it, ladies and germs, black is always good. Black, you go black bolster, black dye in your epoxy, and bingo, bangle, bongo.
Spray foam. Any hole, spray foam it. You're fine. You're absolutely fine with spray foam.
Well, I'm sure somebody's using spray foam. I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, you know what we should try to do? I think that this is something that would be really funny. It would be our prank to our listeners. We start to pitch these crazy ideas. And then see how many of them like say, oh, I have this new technique where I spray foam my fucking knives into the handles.
Oh my god!
I'm surprised there's not an Instagram account already of somebody like purposely doing all the really shittest things.
We need to really think about that and think about like, can we do like an April Fool's thing of this is how you do it? And then these guys do these. Oh, I'm gonna do a DIY video on spray foaming my handle to my knife. That'd be hilarious.
For that perfect fit.
Oh, because these guys are going to use your wording and the whole nine yards. I came up with this whole concept. It's called spray foam attachment. So.
Brilliant. Okay. Where are we? Benjamin. Where am I? Angeloni? Benjamin Angeloni, I think. Benjamin Angeloni. Question for you guys about etching. Since I'm replacing my ferric anyway, I've been looking into upgrading to gator piss, and I watched their tutorial video. They recommend using the oxides with WD-40, and I'm wondering if that is food safe for a culinary knife, or if you guys have recommendation for something else to use instead. Thanks.
We talked about that already.
Did we really?
I did. I said that there are people who say you lock in the oxides with a WD-40. It happens to be Baker Forge. I have really great experience. I know Koi for a while now, and the Baker Forge guys do suggest gator piss and then soak it in WD-40, hanging it, and then for 8 hours, letting it dry with the WD-40. I don't want the baked on oxides for culinary knives in regards to it being food safe or not. I want the minimum amount of any kind of fucking thing that can come off in the food. Yeah. I have heard this, and we've talked about this years ago. Some people say that when they're cutting with the Damascus, they cut a lemon, and then they see a black residue on the food. I feel as though some people are getting too involved with the oxides, and they're not realizing that some of the stuff is not food safe. The coffee etch works great with the Baker Forge stuff because it – I don't know. I mean, we've talked about coffee etch a little blue in the face, but I feel as though it stains it more – then it creates oxides. But Mareko's the guy to know that stuff. The one thing you don't need to do is poison your customers. I mean, respectfully. But, think about it. Instead of saying, is this food safe?
Well, what would you do? Would you put some fucking WD-40 on your eggs in the morning? I mean, it's like...
In the pan first.
I mean, just think. You don't have to ask some of these questions, and no disrespect. Some of these questions, I mean, you don't need to ask. I mean, it's like, would you feel comfortable doing it at your home? Then maybe you should reconsider. But that's why the coffee etch is so great. Or mustard patina. Mustard patina is fucking awesome because it's fucking mustard. Coffee etch is really great because it's fucking coffee. Both things you can eat.
Sure.
Not together, but you know what I'm saying.
I would be curious if the WD-40 has to stay on, because I could potentially see, going through the WD-40 soak and then potentially washing it off. And then doing some sort of food safe wax finish of some sort after that.
But the oxides are still there. Right? You're locking in the black oxides from the gator piss.
Yeah. But at the same time, once the acid has been neutralized, I don't know. I don't think anybody's really done any kind of like food testing on what is coming off on the food and what the potential issues are with that. And I think,
do you know why?
I think unfortunately they don't want to know the answers, because
do you know why? Because really half these motherfuckers are don't cook.
Sure.
That's the reason why. Mm. And they don't use their heads.
You woke city softies. I poach my eggs in WD-40 every morning.
Yeah.
Real American WD-40.
You call this woke softies?
Woke city softies.
Yeah, that's something else right there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel as though a lot of questions are just, you know, just use your head. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put WD. I wouldn't put WD-40 in my mouth. I did have a fucking story where I was helping my customer.
Where's this going?
This is going. This was bad. So one of my first bosses was, I was trying to help him fix his, he couldn't turn his truck over or something like that. So we opened the hood up and he's cleaning stuff off and he's going to spray that. He says, hand me the WD-40. Hand him the WD-40. He presses down. It just happened to be aiming at my eye instead of the fucking inside of the truck. So it was like this
perfect
fucking bingo. Bullseye right into my eyeball. I got a whole eyeball full of WD-40 and I thought, this shit is rolling. My eyes are rolling around in my head pretty good right now. It was terrible, but it was awful, frankly. But, you know, I wouldn't want to eat WD-40.
Sure.
No, definitely not.
I mean, you might try it with some other kind of food safe, like the Tsubaki oil, actually, the camellia oil that Craig was talking about earlier. Mm. It might be worth trying it with that. Who knows? Like, that could really help. And it's food safe.
Yeah, I tend to steer clear of things that come off.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Okay. Right, I got a good one here from EDC Gearhouse.
Oh, wow.
Whilst we all have a think about that, I'll ask the question first. Hey, guys, fun question for you at the next episode. If there was a movie that featured Knife Talk podcast, who would each of you cast to play everyone? And whilst we're thinking about that, Mareko, tell us all about your grinder.
I would, in this movie, I would be talking on the microphone and grinding a blade on a broadback grinder all at the same time. I love these guys. They're really great. They're making these grinders for knife makers, as knife makers, so they really understand the machines, and they do a great job of helping to take care of the customers, and they're just a pleasure to, in my experience, interact with all around in general. The way they've built these machines is so that they're super modular. You can switch out all kinds of different tool arms so that from one chassis you can have like nine or more different machines. It's wild how many different attachments they have. But if you already have attachment or a chassis set up, their tool arms are also cross-platform. So you can go and get their tool arms. You can use them on the machine that you already have. They're great guys. They've done a lot to help makers get into the game and get to work. And so what is it right now? We got Broadback is Knife Talk 10.
Yes.
Yeah, Knife Talk 10 at Broadback. When you go check out, get your tool arm, get your packages, whatever you need from them. And when you go to check out, make sure you punch in Knife Talk 10 and you'll save yourself 10% on your purchase. Again, BroadbeckIronworks.com.
There we go. Okay, EDC Gearhouse, Knife Talk Podcast, the movie. So he's got some suggestions. So playing Jeff is John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Playing me is James Spader. Whoa. And playing Mareko is Benicio Del Toro. Now, I've just had to Google all three of these people to see.
Ben is like, and he's,
I was going to say Jack Black for me.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Ben obviously doesn't know that I look exactly like Vince Vaughn.
Obviously. So.
Exactly. I mean, like, that was the shoe-in. That was the easy one.
I was like, there's no thinking about it. There's no real thinking about it.
Yeah. I tell you what I did see this week, and it's taken a pan in, but Better Man. I don't know if you've heard about the film. Actually, you probably don't even know who Robbie Williams is, do you?
I know who Robbie Williams is.
Yes, yeah. Annoying twat. but anyway, this film, I detest Robbie Williams because the way he is. Okay. But this film, that Better Man, which is basically his story, but it's played by a monkey. It is a brilliant film. It's so, so good. You forget it's a monkey, and by the end of it, you're thinking, if that wasn't a monkey, you'd be rubbish.
Oh, that's
it's
funny.
Just so, so good. So I think a monkey would play me.
I have a better person for you.
Okay.
Ray Winstone.
Really? Don't you?
I got a fucking picture of him right here, and I think
is that the one on Sexy Beast?
Yeah, Sexy Beast
in the sun.
Yeah, Sexy Beast. I mean, that I'm gonna send this picture to you. I mean, that is fucking dead on right here.
What about that female singer a while back? Like, you were comparing Craig to what's her name?
Oh, Katie Lang.
Katie Lang.
Yeah, your fucking original shoe polish, shoe polish hair. Yeah. That was dead on, Katie Lang. Dead on, Katie Lang.
Constant craving. Yeah.
Constantly craving. That's right. Constant craving. That'd be unbelievable. I forgot about that. Good one.
No, obviously, I'd be Jason Momoa.
I was going to say, The Rock. You could be The Rock.
You'd be what? Yeah, you're Jason Momoa and The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? I don't know.
I mean, you're just Vince Vaughn, Jeff. There's no getting
away from
that.
Yeah, I don't really fucking see any way around it. I got that thought. You know what the worst part is, you know, to the point where back when I was younger, I got it. It was like, he's a little older than me, but like I was getting it a lot to the point where I was getting it very often. And it gets insulting. Because the reason why it gets insulting is the only reason why we look similar is we both have a high forehead and we have these really big bags under our eyes that makes it seem like we're fucking spent. So I always take it as a slight insult.
Well, you could be Katie Lang, a middle-aged lesbian. You know, it's
middle-aged.
Well, no, she's not anymore. I don't know.
When I was very young, I got Tom Hanks, but then as I got older, I got more spent Vince Vaughn. It's hilarious.
I probably have gotten Jack Black most of my life.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get Brad Pitt every day.
Sexy Beast. What is the line from that Sexy Beast? Oh, Sexy Beast. Is that what it was?
I don't even know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
You should see the movie Sexy Beast. It's fantastic.
Sexy Beast with Ray Winston.
Ray Winston and
brilliant.
And what's his face?
Really good.
What was his name? The guy who played Gandhi. The guy who played the main character.
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley's in it. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's a fantastic movie. That is a must watch for our listeners of Knife Talk.
Yeah. And if we're talking about old movies, well, not so old, my wife and I this week, we watched The Wolf of Wall Street again.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I haven't seen it since it first came out, which is like 15, 16 years ago. And I tell you what, it's brilliant.
It's very good.
Yeah. He plays it so well, the character, so, so well. It's very, very
well
good.
Before we leave, because I got a feeling, Mareko, you're not going to be here next week before the Super Bowl. We always do our Super Bowl predictions. This is two this is 2 weeks in advance, so we
do. Let me
I don't even know who's supposed to be playing.
All right, I'm about to tell you. You're the Jason Momoa and The Rock would both know, and Jack Black would know that it's Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Cheaters? Oh, sorry, Chiefs.
Obviously, you know who it is. Obviously, you know who it is. The people in Philadelphia, some of our listeners from Philadelphia, I got a message from Butch.
Yeah.
Butch Sullivan. Every time a Philly teams do great up to the playoffs, and then for some reason, when it comes down, and sorry, Butch, but when you send me all these pictures of you in the streets of
Philadelphia and everyone's losing their fucking minds hanging from poles and stuff. But when you get to the championships, what happens? Choke.
Choke
artist. Fucking motherfuckers choke all the time. So it's like, I start sending me pictures when you win. I mean, I'm a New York guy, but I'm rooting for the underdog, which is the Eagles. I'm going for the Eagles, and the Eagles are going to win by 3 points maximum. It's going to be a high scoring game.
Tight.
Oh, super tight, because you know why? Because like you said, Pat Mahomes, or as I call him, Pat My Balls. He is a fucking. He gets all the fucking calls. The referees are always like bending down for old Pat My Balls. So I think that if it's gonna be anything, it's gonna be
coming
super
up inside.
Yes, fucking Pat My Balls is gonna get. He's gonna get, and then Taylor Swift's gonna be up in the upper deck, and it's gonna be obnoxious. And I've had it with the Chiefs, so I'm going Eagles by 3. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, so it's going to be like 35-31. Wow. I don't know, something like that.
Super Bowls are not known for being high scoring games.
They're good teams. Both are really good. They both have really good offenses. I mean, the Eagles just mollywopped the Commanders. It was like fucking 60 something to 20 years. I mean, they killed them. They're really good. They're really good.
I want it to be a low points game. I want them to fucking just beat the hell out of each other and hardly anybody score anything.
No, their offenses are both very, very good. So I'd rather the Eagles win. So Butch, I'm with you.
Yeah, I would like the Eagles to win, because of my love for our friends in Philadelphia. And I hope it doesn't get out of the 20s though. That's what I want.
Why? That's a boring game.
That's not boring. That means that everybody's busting their ass. Defense is kicking ass.
Nobody wants to see
fucking runs down
nobody
the throat.
Nobody wants to see touchdowns. I mean, that's just crazy. Nobody wants to see not all high scoring
day.
Catches.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I love seeing those crazy,
forth,
those long catches, those long crazy catches. I love that shit. That's fucking awesome.
Every once in a while. Otherwise, they're not
special.
Okay,
well, I'm going to play devil's advocate. If there's two of you going for the Eagles, I'll go for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you're
going
to win.
Because you're a Swifty, that's why.
Yeah, you are a Swifty.
That's maybe what it is. The 9th of February. So, yeah, there's plenty of time. But I've just looked on the website, right, and there's still tickets available. $4,500
for these
seats.
Oh, maybe I'll go while
I'm
there.
And they're like three pitches away from the actual pitch.
Easy.
It's madness.
That's like the Super Bowl is impossible to get tickets to because it's all like – It's madness. I'll tell you one thing. This is the Z After Show now. Let's just face it. Last year
it has been since about 5 minutes.
Last year, Craig starts texting. He's up all night. He's drunk watching the Super Bowl. I swear to God, I hope Craig, please, 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 watch it and send me more questions. I was far
live
more
commentary.
Interested in more.
Yeah,
of the questions.
Yeah, I want to hear record some live commentary.
The best question Craig said to me, he was watching the Super Bowl. I don't know how you figured it out. You like hooked into some fucking satellite or something. He goes, did they stop playing in between commercials? That's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I guess they do stop playing in between commercials.
Yeah.
What?
That's hilarious.
What? It's all about the advertising. It's all any of it's about.
It's the biggest.
Literally, play stops like every like 4 or 5 seconds. It's unbelievable.
It's the biggest. I mean, it's the
unwatchable.
It's the biggest American sport there is. I mean, there's no. The interesting thing about NFL in general is I was listening to Stephen A. Smith talk about why NFL football is the America's pastime. It's because they figured out a way to make every single game feel like a playoff game. So everything's. I mean, the Yankees. I mean, baseball. You're 162 games. So it's hard to make every single one. Watch every one of them. Knicks, I've been watching all. I've missed maybe 4 Knicks games. I fucking love it. But football is only 17 weeks. There's only 17. Each team's going to play 17 times, 16 times, 17 times, 16.
I have a hot take about baseball. It's boring as fuck.
Well, that's you know what my hot take is. You just don't like baseball. So
I like baseball. I like the highlights. I go
well,
to baseball
not,
games.
That's not
here.
Liking baseball, though. You know, that's not like baseball. I actually have a chat
everybody's
going,
just sitting around for something great to happen,
dude,
just so they can say they were
just,
there when it happened.
There's a lot of things that you like that I don't like, but I don't make it. You know, there's no reason for a hot take. I mean, it's like there are. I have friends. I have Marlboro, Jesse Killian, and I text all the time baseball. I got baseball guys, and I beat the brakes off of some knife makers who love baseball. I love baseball.
I'm not saying it's like not chess. A great game. I'm just saying it's boring as fuck to watch.
All right. Well, then I guess you're not. I'm not going to send you tickets. You know, I don't know what to say.
If I get into the Super Bowl, I'll send you guys a picture.
The Super Bowl. Okay. When the Yankees get in the Super Bowl, I'll send you tickets.
If you guys can get on satellite or wherever it would be, the Rugby Six Nations starts tomorrow, and it's Wales-France, the first game. And that is 80 minutes, one 15-minute break in the middle. That's all they get. And they are ripping fuck out of each other. No pads.
No pants.
No helmets.
No pants, did you say?
No pads.
Oh, they said no pants. They're running around with their
No
pants. It's amazing. Oh, you don't
no
say.
No pads, no helmets, no adverts for 40 minutes. It's
I tried watching. We were watching the what is it? The World Cup. You want to talk about boring? Oh my god! Oh my god! Jesus Christ! I was in Barcelona watching the World Cup or some European Cup, one of these goddamn things. I'm watching with.
Yeah, I think it was the World Cup at the time because I was.
I was watching with Tomer, and I was this sucks. But at the same time, I get it, you know. But I mean, look, everyone. I have a strong. My parents used to take me to baseball games when I was a kid, and I loved everything about it. And baseball was built around radio. I mean, unfortunately, you know, when they first came out with baseball, it was a great sport to be able to explain on the radio because most people didn't have TVs or there were TVs. So you could explain it, and I love listening to it because you can really kind of understand what's happening. So, man, look, it's not for everybody. I love it.
Guy hits a ball, guy catches a ball, guy throws a ball.
That's it. Yeah.
It's illuminating.
Yeah, guy runs. Yep.
Okay, so we got 2-1 to the Eagles then. Yep.
Oh, I think you're going to fucking win this whole thing, Craig. You're going to win this whole thing. I mean, the Eagles aren't going to win. I mean, you're our NFL expert now.
NFL expert. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, I'll be sending you some tips during the game, no doubt.
I mean, this is 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. Craig knows the score better than me and Mareko. He's going to win. He's going to win. Fucking, I don't want it, but he's going to win.
Okay, that's the show. Thank you all for listening. We shall be back again this time next week. Bye for now.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.